Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on.
Well, the news of the day. How you doing?
Not so bad, yourself.
Yeah, a couple of people right in the front.
What?
A couple of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. hold on. Hello there.
Hey.
Hey. Before,
what's going on?
Nothing. I was just telling Nora I had a couple teeth pulled. But I just got this in, so let me play this real quick, and then I'll go to you guys.
Okay.
Enforcement took was to secure the physical area around the blast for the purpose of preserving evidence in the area related to the devices itself. This morning, the FBI, along with Boston PD, Massachusetts State Police, and ATF, officially began its forensic evidence recovery effort at the site. Their goal was to recover physical items related to the blast. Those items have been recovered and being sent to the FBI's laboratory in Quantico, Virginia. There, specialized examiners will reconstruct the device or devices and determine its makeup and components. Among items partially recovered are pieces of black nylon, which could be from a backpack, and what appear to be fragments of BBs and nails, possibly contained in a pressure cooker device. We are expediting this blast evidence to our laboratory in Quantico, Virginia, for a complete and thorough analysis. In addition, this morning, it was determined that both of the explosives were placed in a dark-colored nylon bag or backpack. The bag would have been heavy because of the components believed to be in it. At this point, it is difficult to determine specific components used until we can eliminate other factors which may have already been present in the environment. In fact, we won't know with some certainty until the laboratory completes its final review.
Huh.
This scene was shocking, even to those trained for crises like this. All most of the spectators in Boston and around the country could do was watch, stunned.
Your natural capacity as a human being is to feel other people's pain.
Psychologists say the explosions in Boston can trigger a sort of nationwide PTSD and bring up painful memories of other major tragedies, like 9/11 or the bombing at Atlanta's Centennial Olympic Park in 1996.
It almost feels like we cannot relax, we cannot get comfortable and contented about violence. It's so prevalent. And that's what is so, I think, discomforting to most people.
Perhaps most heartbreaking about this story is that a child is among the dead. Helping other children cope with that news depends on their age. Many experts recommend limiting kids' media exposure and reassure them that, while sad, these events are rare.
Kids of all ages take their cues from us as parents, and so the more emotional we are about it, the more worried or concerned the kids will likely be.
Social media sites are rife with signs the nation is trying to heal. Candles lit, roses shared, millions of online tributes and images of love for Boston.
When people don't know what else to do, they tend to sort of put their heart stamp on social media, and I think it's a great way for the people struggling to be able to go there and realize they're not alone.
Perhaps the best way to cope is to remember there's something about the nation's worst moments that can bring out the best in its people. Erica Edwards, NBC News.
Go ahead.
The first explosion happened
blocks further down from us, and the second one was right across the street from us. Oh, yeah, it was huge. The Puri came flying. Area hit us.
Where did it hit you?
In the face. I mean, it was, yeah, there was cloud everywhere, and, yeah, it was loud. It was really, really loud, and then people, just chaos everywhere.
Did people?
I mean, there were just families all around us with kids, I mean, yelling and screaming, and, I mean, we just wanted to try and get away as quick as possible. But, I mean, even being around the tall buildings, it's very scary. I mean, it was literally right across the street from us. I couldn't tell if it came from the building or from, like, a trash can or, I don't know.
It went off, and me and him, like, because we were, like, we were rooting on our friend, and we were like, oh, yeah, like, oh, and then it was like, boom. And then, you know, both of us, like, we've been to Afghanistan. You expect that? Yeah, I didn't expect that. Yeah, so, like, I was like, oh, like, celebration. So I was like, yeah, like, that's awesome. And then everyone started screaming and running towards us, and I was like, dude, what's going on? And it was like a bomb, and me and him jumped over the railing and ran down there.
Go ahead.
Which one are you talking?
You. Sure.
Oh, me? Damn. Yeah, I am here. Yesterday was just sheer chaos in the area of Boston. My niece, which is my son's godmother, she's up there as a med student studying to be a doctor. And she was only two, three streets over from where everything took place. And
yeah, Bill grew up two blocks from there, he said.
No kidding. Well, then he knows. That whole area is interconnected by several hospitals, which you can walk through. If you notice when you watch any of the footage of the people coming through the finish line, behind them, you'll see like a little skyway that people walk through to get from one building to the other. All the hospitals over there are interconnected by them skyways. You literally can walk around a couple of blocks from building to building. But the main street, which is Newberry, I believe, that is like a main strip that comes up onto the hospitals, different places to shop. You've got the dorm kids because you've got Harvard and all the other bigger universities in that area that the students work with the hospitals. But all their, the brownstone buildings actually are filled with young adults that want to dorm there. But she said that yesterday the whole area was pretty much on lockdown, you know, that it was almost eerie because they cleared everybody out, and everybody that wasn't supposed to be there needed to get where they needed to go. The hospitals, and to my knowledge still today, especially Brigham and Women, who have 122 of the victims, you can't even get in to visit. You can't do nothing. You better have business that, you know, really needs to be done in the hospital or they're not letting you in. The plus component, if you want to call it that, is that they had a makeshift small OR to host about 1,000 people outside of Brigham and Women's. And that was for people who would have been suffering from dehydration and other components from racing. But having that set up, it kind of turned into a triage type deal where they could get people in there quicker. They keep replaying, you know, because we live right here, they keep replaying the images over and over again. I don't know if they're doing that around the United States or not, but it's very...
Yeah, they got it on the front page of every newspaper in the world. I was reading the Irish news. It's called, the Irish, they had it on the front page. Britain had it on the front page. Yeah.
It's very surreal. I guess is the maybe the right word or maybe not. Because if you think of 9/11, all the people involved with those planes took off out of Logan Airport, which is 15 minutes from that site. And now, you know, you think of this, and I just think to myself, you know, along with any other major city that's ever been a target of this type of stuff, you know, the first word is why. The second thing was the marathon. You know, I mean, people are running in that marathon to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for hundreds of thousands of charities. There are people that come in from all over the world to run this 26-mile race. And they're innocent people, not to say that, you know, people in the towers and the Oklahoma bombing and, you know, everywhere else where there's been tragedy weren't innocent also. But, I mean, I know people are getting on their political soapboxes and are already, you know, assuming who they think did this, but...
Oh, yeah, they're already pegging, like, I've heard on the news it's some 20-year-old kid.
Being it.
Well, he's in Brigham and Women's, believe it or not. He's a med student. He's from Saudi Arabia. That's what they've told us here. And they've interviewed, I guess, him and his roommate and actually found nothing, I guess, in their apartment or whatever building they live in. But, you know, I would assume if you're going to do something like that, you wouldn't be making it at home. But the fact of the matter that it's, you know, they deem that it is a very simple bomb process with using the pressure cooker and shrapnel, and the design of it leads me to believe it might be, you know, an American. You know, somebody who just is really pissed off at something that's going on, because, I mean, at least with, and I know that this is going to add insult to injury, at least, you know, when the World Trade Centers went up and the Pentagon and the crash in Maryland, you know, that was a direct hit on federal government. You know, you knew that this was coming from a totally different direction. But to have a direct hit on totally innocent people that are doing nothing but running in a marathon to raise money for charities, and being that there's really no big, like, political structure like the Twin Towers right there, you really got to take a deep breath, sit back, and really assess. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was an American. I mean, look at McVeigh. He had a direct thing, you know, against the government. He blew up the Oklahoma building. What was there, like 133 casualties? 22 of them were the kids, you know, because it was a daycare in there.
Yeah, and what they say, there's like 42 severed amputees. Yeah, severed amputees.
Oh, yeah, dude. There's 144 injured. A quarter of that is severe amputees. The little boy who died, he was 8 years old. His sister is suffering with an amputee. We don't know if it's a leg, an arm, what it might be. His mom got hit, I guess I'm going to assume, in the head with shrapnel or something, some type of big debris, because she has suffered a massive traumatic brain injury. And, you know, they were right there at that finish line waiting on his dad, her wife, husband, to come across the finish line. They were right there, you know, and that's how they got seriously injured. But even at first, when the first bomb went off, people were just kind of like,
well, that's like
around.
That first guy that fell down, they interviewed him, and he said he heard it go off, and he felt his legs go out, and then he said people ran out to help, and he realized something was wrong.
Yeah, exactly, because, I mean, if you look at everybody's faces that they keep playing that one scene when people come across the finish line, they're all a little bit startled, like, you know, what the hell was that? It's like the bomb was big enough to stop people, you know, because it made the vibration, it made the noise, but you didn't know the capacity of it till you got beyond the fence line and seen, I mean, there was just pools of blood all over the sidewalk. They had aerial shots that were coming in, at least over here. I'm not sure about anywhere else. Yeah, the sidewalk was just red. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you knew that, they, you know, that there was major, major, you know, stuff. But, it you know, people are complaining about, you know, what type of world do we live in, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, you can argue that till the cows come home, but here's the biggest thing. We, as Americans, and I'm not saying this to kick anybody in the pants, but this is a reality check to respect your freedoms. Because if you wandered outside the United States and lived in, let's say, Israel, Pakistan, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, and several other countries. You live with bombings on a daily basis. You live with this type of vile, violent outbreak. And the fact that, you know, the violence has now trickled here in the United States over the last 10 years with major things being blown up, you have to sit back and be vigilant. I think we've taken some things for granted because we are a superpower.
Well, you know, when Obama wrapped up his remarks in the Boston Marathon, all the reporters in the room quickly got on Twitter and they checked out the language. And the president had not referred to terrorism. You know,
well,
give me
you
the
know,
numbers. It depends on who's saying it. If the subject or subjects get charged for the bombings, yeah, it matters whether they're prosecuted for terrorism or not. Or when they're anywhere else.
I can understand, and because I'm like kind of biased with all the political stuff, and I kind of state it as it is, I can understand why he worded things the way he did. You know, we've got bullshit breaking off in North and South Korea there, you know. We're still overseas, you know, in very terroristic countries. And for him to even, you know, lean a little to the left or the right to say, you know, this could have been an act of terrorism, this could have been, that would be establishing, you know, it is what it is. And I can understand why he worded things very delicately because, you know, with all the people right now, or the countries that I should say, are pissed off at the United States, it could be anything. And you don't want to set already angered countries to get more angered, you know? So I totally, totally understand why he worded it. I think if I would have been put in charge, whether I would have been Democrat, Republican, whatever, I probably would have worded it the same way because they're trying to do
an... credit for it either yet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If they're trying to do an investigation and you don't want to target anyone, whether it's a terroristic cell or a group...
The Pakistani Taliban were the first ones to come out and said they had nothing to do with it.
And also some communist places in China and a couple of different other places. They've all said that because their wording was because the marathon deals with women and children, which, you know, I some of the countries, they don't really give a shit about women and children, but whatever. They wanted, you know, that ain't their cup of tea. But I will be very surprised, and I'm going to tell you quite honestly, Phil, the way I, you know, been watching everything and thinking about things, I will be very surprised if it's not an American person. And that's sad, but it's the way I feel about how they made the bombs, the way it was done.
Yeah, they're also trying to be politically correct and draw links between extremist branches of Islam and terror, or to be politically correct to even racially profile.
Yeah, exactly. This is a very, very and it's going to set a precedence from this point forward. On any of the marathons, charity events, football games, baseball games, hockey, anywhere where you get 500 or more people gathering, from this point forward, people need to be vigilant. They need to pay attention. They need to know their surroundings. And I mean, bike it, you know, you want to categorize.
Baseball's looking at it, football's looking at it, they're all looking at it.
Right. Well, but I truly feel that, you know, I mean, people should reach out to the biker community and ask them for tips on how to be vigilant, because all of us are, because it's just the way that it goes. But I really think that some Americans are really ignorant to the fact that, you know, we have been lucky, because we have a great big melting pot here in the United States, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, but you don't know who everybody is. You don't know what's going on. And like I said, we could live in a war-torn country that goes on every single day overseas, and we don't. So, you know, no matter how much you hate or love your government, somebody somewhere is doing their job right to keep these type of things, you know, at a bare minimum, if you want to call it that. But it just makes you stop and realize that, you know, everybody's vulnerable. The only thing I'm looking at is why Boston, you know, because I live over here. So, of course, you're going to say why, but it just, I don't know.
Well, because that was one of the first major runs of the year.
Exactly.
And then next week is in London, and then after that, I think there's one in Australia.
I think they're canceling the one in London because there was some talk briefly tonight on the 6:30 news, the news that comes after the news. My grandmother used to call it the big news because it was worldwide news. But anyways, there was some talk about a marathon coming up, and they were seriously thinking of canceling it until all of this stuff kind of just settles down. The one thing that's got me a little bit upset, though, and I'm seeing it on the social media sites, is people are complaining, don't wear the color purple. People have idolized purple with Boston. People are complaining about people changing their profile pictures to the Boston scenery like we do for 9/11 every year, 9/11. And, you know, you have to kind of try to be a little bit more down to earth, because when something like this happens, of course, it affects the people who are right here more so than others, but it affects the United States as a whole. And when people put up Boston pictures or 9/11 pictures or Oklahoma pictures, or, you know, I can go on and on with the tragedies that have happened over the past 10 years, it's because we stand as one, unity, solidarity, whatever you want to call it. And it means that everybody's thinking on the same wavelength. And to me, that's a positive thing. Why people would bash that is beyond me, because it shows, you know, that people are stopping to think beyond themselves for the day, and they're thinking of others who have suffered or, you know, are no longer here with us. And I just don't stand, can't understand all the hoopla. And I mean, if you look at all these great tragedies, just tonight on the news, the dad of the little boy that died, he had a statement, and it was thanking all the people that helped right there at the race, that helped everywhere else, and he also thanked the people that he didn't know that were offering prayers and thoughts and, you know, words of wisdom. That's your social media site. It's a way of healing, and people need to understand that, you know, when something like this happens, everybody gets affected. Everybody, from the smallest child to the oldest person, because this is your country, this is our country, and you know, you have to show a sign of unity that we're all thinking on the same wavelength, because everybody wants, you know, 9/11, we wanted to know who did that effective immediately, and you know, the FBI was launched on it, and you know, we got a couple of names as they trickled in, you know, and then more and more and more. And I say to everybody, you know, stay out of that area. It's pretty much closed off. You can't even get to it by, I think it's exit 22 off the highway. It's completely shut down. You're not going to get there. You know, stay out of that area. Let the people do their job.
Well, they had it 15 blocks closed off, and they went to 12.
Yeah.
That was from the police chief of Boston today.
Yep, and it's like, you know, just let them do their job and let them gather up whatever they need to, so, you know, we can find the people or persons or peoples, whatever, you know, that did this, because there's enough.
Somebody's going to say something, because, you know, three people can keep a secret if two are dead.
Yeah, well, I totally understand that, but, you know, they're gathering up all the camera footages, because obviously
they put out a thing for anybody with a cell phone, any kind of video, everything.
Yep. And people have turned their stuff in. People who seen the explosion and just like held the button down on their cameras that can take pictures real fast, and they landed up catching things in the crowds that the regular news cameras that were there that didn't even see. So, you know, believe me, I'm not for being a snitch, and we all know how I feel about that. But if somebody has seen something or knows something, you know, this was horrible. This, you know, you need to step up, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, innocent people, just like with 9/11, innocent people in Oklahoma and everywhere else. This is not like, you know, two neighbors fighting and one's drunk and one's high and you're going to call the cops and everybody's going to go sit in jail. This is
like Timothy McVeigh and then taking off afterwards.
Right, exactly. You know, and people just need to step up. And I know everybody, you know, the word is over here that everybody, people are, you know, turning over their pictures, their film footages. They've already checked out. There was a couple of incidences today on the mass transit with people that claim, you know, suspicious packages. They were investigated and proven to be false. And, of course, everybody's on high alert in this area now. But, again, people need to be vigilant. You can't take for granted the freedoms that you have, because what's here today is, you know, gone tomorrow in New York, Boston, Oklahoma, and everywhere else. They're proof of that. So, you know, I really don't know how all of this is going to pan out, you know. According to the Boston Marathon people, that, you know, it's going to be there again next year, and it's going to go strong, and nothing's going to stand in their way. And, you know, the most thing that I can tell people out there is, if you want to do something to directly help the people in Boston, go give blood. They ran out of blood, you know, and they've been having blood-a-thons, or whatever you want to call them, all over the place in this area, and the blood is directly going to Boston. So you might want to check with your local Red Cross or hospital or whoever, you know, takes blood in your area and find out, do they got blood going to Boston? You know, can you donate a pint and send it there? And figure, with the people who have lost limbs and stuff, you know, they could be getting...
Well, I mean, we got right now, we got people in Canada, Brazil, France, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Romania, Australia, Russia, Sweden, the Ukraine, Ireland, Germany, Poland, and China. We got 68 people that, if they get caught listening in China, could be killed right now.
That's crazy. You know, I mean, Boston and Massachusetts in general, we've always been known as tough people with attitudes, you know. Because we just kind of bounce back. And, you know, that's what everybody's saying, is that, you know, we're strong, we're going to bounce back, and that's the way it's got to be. And, I mean, even with having the toughness, the rigidness around us, people yesterday were opening their homes.
I'm here right now. You want to call in? Dial 347-826-7753. We're doing a radio show right now.
Who are you talking to, man? No, but yesterday people opened up their homes for people that possibly were stranded in Boston or had family members that, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, I'll be back. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was somebody who wanted somebody to dial me up straight up instead of dialing the show.
Oh, okay. But, you know.
Says he has a wealth of information. So I gave him the number. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's cool. But, you know, people opened up their homes for people to stay in. You know, if they had a person in the hospital or they were stranded up there because, you know, they pretty much tight secured that whole area. And, I mean, that's something that Bostonians in general are not well known for, you know, like such over-the-top hospitality. And I think incidences like this make us humble again and make us appreciate, you know, our neighbor or our brother or our sister or anybody, you know, that's close to us in general. And again, it shows that sign of unity, compassion, help. And,
Bill and his brother Mike, they were livid. Bill called me yesterday right after I talked to you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're Bostonians. I mean, they can live out in California all they want, but in the end, they're still a Bostonian. Their heritage comes from over here. So,
well,
you know,
exactly.
And it's just like, you know, the people in New York when the Twin Towers went down, you know, people that lived all over the United States that were originally from that area, it affected them because, you know, that's your hometown. And, I mean, I think of that area. I think of the Science Museum, the aquarium. I think of the Italian section, Nathaniel Hall, Quincy Market, you know, and it just it's hard to believe that took place yesterday. When I first, you know, signed on to the computer and I was reading all these things, I'm like, are you, what? And I turned on the TV immediately and I'm seeing the coverage. I just sat there and I'm like, the first thing that came to my mind, which I'm sure it came to every other person's mind in Massachusetts, is this it? Or are other things going to be blown up? Because I immediately reacted the way I did with 9/11. All of a sudden, one tower, the other tower, the Pentagon, the plane. You start thinking, my God, is this it? Or can we expect other buildings to go? You know, and yeah, it was a hard thing to watch at first yesterday because, like I said, you flash back to that 9/11 moment, and you're sitting at the edge of your seat. And you know, you're thinking, is it done, or is there going to be more, or, you know, is something going to happen in another state that is, you know, a direct takeoff from this, which that did happen in 9/11, you know, and that was the scary part. And that's, like I said, when reality hit home with me, that, you know, you need to be vigilant, you need mm-hmm. to know what's going on, and be aware of your surroundings, you know, and if some don't feel right, look right, smell right, taste right, man, get away from it. Just, you know.
If it walks, talks, and looks like it's a duck.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I've been one person to always tell people, go with your gut instinct, because your heart and your head always lead you in the wrong area. Your gut will tell you exactly what it is, whether you want to hear it or not. And it's like, you know, that's the best drive. If it don't feel right, get the hell out of there. You know, and It's sad. You know, I feel bad for, like, my grandkids, because this is becoming worse and worse. You know, things are breaking off more and more. And I wonder, when she becomes my age, you know, what will be left in society? You know, will we ever find peace, or, you know, or will it get worse from here? Because as the years go on, you know, things break off a little bit more and more versus a little bit less and less. Because, I mean, Christ, in the last 10 years, I think we've had more quote-unquote terrorist crap than anything else. And before that, I mean, you had Pearl Harbor. That was a biggie. That was, you know, a huge attack on American soil. But, you know, things were pretty much low-keyed or taken care of. And now, you know, I think it's due to there's a mass overpopulation, and that's everywhere, and you just can't keep track of everything anymore. And stuff like this slips through, and, you know, it's a reality check that nobody nowhere lives in a perfect rose garden, you know? And it just, I don't know. I thought about my kids yesterday. That was another big thing, you know. They're both okay. They're both good. And, you know, when I text messaged my daughter, who she lives up in the Buffalo, New York area, she was at work. She didn't even know what was going on. And as I was sending her text messages, briefing her, she was just like,
yeah, them guys in the Army, they're a little slow to get the information.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, I'm not going to go there with you. But, you know, it just is one of those things. And she was worried, like I said, about my niece that's up there. That was immediately her thought, because that's where she is. She interns over at Dana-Farber, and that's the cancer hospital. And, you know, a couple of different other places, and it just... Oh, it's just a hard, hard thing. And another thing that rolled to my mind, why the East Coast, man? What's up with the East Coast? Everybody, you know, they want to do their dirty deeds down here on the East Coast. And it's like, are we that mad at people over here? Do we have that much attitude going on? I don't understand it. What?
We got our
why?
Looney Tunes out here, too. We had a guy in Costa Mesa the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, set himself on fire, lay down in his... He laid down in his rest with a bomb. And
what?
When, Yeah, somebody saw him laying in his yard, so they called the paramedics. When the paramedics came, he told them no, he didn't need any help, and he went back in the house and blew himself up.
Oh, my God.
Neighbors said, yeah, he always talked about the evil government and all that shit. We had that other guy about 12 miles from my house, that's the one that had all those bombs in his house, and they blew up the house.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
Yeah, so, yeah, we got our Looney Tunes out here, too. It's just that they catch him before they get crazy.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, my God. So who's that person going to call in? They got more information about Boston? Are they from this area?
No, he's from up in L.A. He calls every once in a while. Talk to Bill. He's got some pertinent information, he says. But then when I tell him to call or whatever, or I give him Bill's number, he doesn't call.
Now, how's have you heard contact with Eunice? She's still down in
Florida? She called me the other day, and she was in the hospital for 3 days when she got back, and she's doing a little better. So,
is she still in Florida?
She's in Boston.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm wondering how she's doing, because I'm not sure the area she's from. Me, I'm about 45 minutes from that exact area. You know?
Oh, the one I want to hear is our bro over there, Hermes.
Yeah, no doubt. Hermes, I'm sure, would have some very interesting things to say because, you know, he's involved with a lot of, you know, the stuff that affects the people. He's got definitely some good wording. And
he's right there.
That's
where he was having all his stuff with his medical issues at Boston General or whatever.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, I mean, you should send him a message. Try to get him on the Thursday show. Get him to call in.
Well, he's got his own show tomorrow in Hermes Live on Blog Talk.
Yeah. Maybe. Yep, I know. That's on Wednesdays. But
I'll hit him up tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely, because,
he's probably loaded for bear.
He's probably what?
Loaded for bear.
Loading for bear? Is that what you just said?
Loaded for bear. In other words, he's fucking totally pissed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good statement. Yeah, Hermes can be a hothead, man, but he makes a point. He knows, you know, he knows what he's talking about. He's straight up. So he gets me, you know, I laugh when he gets going on the radio and he just, you know, talks it to people and that's it. So, but I don't know, you know. Did Nora disappear?
No, she's here.
Huh?
Oh, hello.
Hey.
She
knew you were frustrated and wanted to rant.
Well, I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm not frustrated with everything that's gone on. I actually kind of calm about it. But I got.
Well, you want me to read what you wrote yesterday?
Well, that was yesterday. You know, today I've had time to absorb it all, you know?
I, as soon as I saw fucking cocksuckers, I knew something was up.
Yeah, because, you know, did you know what was going on when I had text messaged you? Did you hear anything at that point, or was I the first person to tell you?
I got like 6 texts at the same time. And you were after you. I got you before, and then I got Bill after.
Yeah, because I didn't know what the hell was it. I was like, "Oh, that!" I'm like, "That motherfucking cocksucker's blowing up Boston." I'm like, "What the fuck?" Yeah, I was irate at that point. Yeah, but you know, I think that's everybody's initial reaction because we've been what's the right words I want to put? Because we've been prone to...
We're used to it.
Yeah. These type of... We immediately look toward...
Like climatized. You get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was going to say desensitized, but I didn't think that was the right word to use. I'm like, wait a minute. But no, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And Fran's in the chat room, so she probably hasn't got pissed off enough yet to call you, because she's from the East Coast also.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's from the Jersey area, you know? Yeah. New York, Jersey, that little neck of the woods. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know she's listening, so if she wants to call in and voice her opinion, I don't blame her.
Yeah, I'm the one thing I am grateful, though, is that them people were put in some of the best hospitals in the world, you know.
Yeah.
Boston flies people in from all around the world to get special treatments and things done. So if anybody can help the severely injured or the burned, because we got the big Shriner Hospital that's there for burn victims, you know,
right.
It would be Boston, you know. So if people thought that, you know, the injured wouldn't survive, whoever did this, you know, they better rethink again, because they're sitting in predominantly the best hospitals. So, you know, be prepared for those people to get better and to take a stand and fight back.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Go ahead, 818. Did you want to talk or just listen? 818.
Say hello. Don't be shy.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we're talking about what happened in Boston. Yeah, we're talking about what happened in Boston. Did you want to comment?
Boston. My comments are so much grander than just why Boston. You've got to comprehend that Congress sold the United States of America to Satan of the world's most evilest world leaders under the Arabic master deceiver Obama, Lucifer, Bin Laden. Everybody that is not in Middle Earth repository system, that's where the guarded dens of the Eastern Diametrical Entrance to the Nations are, Area 51, there's three of them, one on three nations, is dead. 6 months ago, the black hole sucked Mars clean, spit everything out of the white hole that blew up over Russia. All of my scientists have been murdered. The psychotronical powers that your governments are doing to get your minds going so fast, the last thing you'll be thinking about is that on November 14, 2013 at 11:52 p.m., Borealis's auroral black hole's bottomless pit sucks all living and non-living things off the crust of this ball of dirt, and nothing but matter and pure emotion does it spit. Pure emotion. That's the heavenly goal. Everything on Earth is going to be destroyed right now, Marianas Trench. Underneath the seas is opening up, and this is why two-thirds of all creatures are dead. I think thou is able to look at the table and cut the demonic cable and release your flesh vehicle from their psychotronical stable. I think thou is able. I think thou sees thy light through these clouds of lies as everything and everyone around you dies. Open your eyes. Your government agencies, Los Angeles City law enforcement, I handed him the handbook of chemistry and physics of the chemical and rubber company, and I unfolded the tree of life for him. He got together with city council, and I know.
Oh, we lost him.
What the fuck was all that?
I don't
know.
Wow.
That was very interesting.
We let everybody say what they got to say.
No, that's truth, but I if I understood, you know, no disrespect, but if I understood half of what that man said, you know, like that, I was losing him somewhere between a black hole and November 14th and self-damnation and destruction and everything else. So, you know,
I don't know. He must be talking on his cell phone because we lost him. Hopefully he'll call back.
Very interesting.
But
he didn't give his name. You know, you need a name when you're gonna do a spiel like that. Shoot.
No, we lost him. But so to switch gears a little bit, not to take nothing away from that, and like you said, you know, if you want to help out, donate blood. And
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be donated. You can donate it anywhere, as far as I know, and it'll be shipped to Boston.
And not only that, too, look.
Hold on,
you
called back. Hold on.
All right, but let me speak first. Look at some of the charities that people were running in the marathon for. Donate money to the charities. You know,
yeah.
there's hundreds of them. You know, you want to do something like that. But the guy called back, get his name, you know, so we know who we're talking to.
Okay. Hello, 818. Go ahead and say your name,
yes.
Please.
Thomas Owen Riley.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Riley. How
With
are you?
With my name. I am back from heaven through death. I am the chosen one. With my name, you create all the holy names in my holy scrolls. You are all in the end days, and you are all angels from heaven. You have the evil, greedy man that is under control of the federal government under Satan, of the world's most evilest demonic world leaders. They know because of the diatomical global alignment, every human being and every creature on Earth that is now not underground in Middle Earth's repository system, it's a beautiful city of clear gold. So many of my NASA scientists were murdered bringing this stuff out to me. And anyone that does not...
Well, we lost him again. I don't know. Sometimes that happens.
I don't know. Maybe he's driving and talking. A lot of times when you drive and talk, your phone call will get dropped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got some visitors, too, today.
Visitors? Really? Did they bring gifts? Did they come bearing gifts?
No. No, they're just strewing with shit again, as usual.
Well, I can... understand that the visitors would be on heightened alert at this moment in time because of everything that's going on. So, of course, they're going to screw with you for a while just to make sure. You know.
All right, hold on. Hold on. We got him again.
All right.
Okay, hey, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you need a tinfoil hat, but you're back now, so go ahead.
Yes, it's CIA is doing this. My phone number is 818-492-6399. I am here to unfold the universal diademical idiom laws of existence's handbook of chemistry and physics by the chemistry and physics of all living and non-living things in universal existence down to the atomic particuli and the spectral emissivical existence of you and I. Just like the one I handed, the atomic particle molecular reconstructor to Richardson. He works with NASA. With every single crimoscoscope, you see every atom and every molecule and every cell resurrected. I need to get there fast. But I have all the keys and all the answers to your politics. I have all the keys and all the answers to love and life. I just need you all to help me get my angels, my churches, to come and find me. I'm at 13708 Hubbard Street, Sylmar, California, 91131. I have been murdered many a times, and they're attempting to murder me again. Please help me, my children. Please help us. You are angels.
Oh, well, I think they cut him off again, then, because I lost him again.
I'm a little bit dumbfounded right at the moment.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, everybody here gets a chance to speak their
mind.
I don't block anybody. But just to switch gears, I got this from a friend of mine, Art. He works for Quick Dollar Magazine. And
Silent Art?
No, this is another Art. He works for Quick Auto Magazine. Art lives in Poway, the other Art. Anyway, he says he loves his school. Listen to this. This is an answering machine message to the parents that call for their kids for school. This message is from a Marcador High School in Queensland, Australia. The staff voted unanimously to record on their school telephone answering machine. This is the actual answering machine message for the school. This came about because they implemented a policy requiring students and parents to be responsible for their children's absences and missing homework. School and teachers are being sued by parents who want their children's failing grades changed to passing grades, even though those children were absent 15 to 30 times during the semester and did not complete enough schoolwork to pass their classes.
Hello, you have reached the automated answering service of your school. In order to assist you in connecting to the right staff member, please listen to all the options before making a selection. To lie about why your child is absent, press 1. To make excuses for why your child did not do his homework, press 2. To complain about what we do, press 3. To swear at staff members, press 4. To ask why you didn't get information that has already been enclosed in your newsletter and several flyers that have been mailed to you, press 5. If you want us to raise your child, press 6. If you want to reach out and touch, slap, or hit someone, press 7. To request another teacher for the third time this year, press 8. To complain about bus transportation, press 9. To complain about school lunches, press 0. If you realize this is the real world and your child must be accountable and responsible for his or her own behavior, classwork, and homework, and that it's not the teacher's fault for your child's lack of effort, hang up and have a nice day. If you want this in another language, move to a country that speaks it. Thank you for your interest in public education.
That's great. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right on the money there.
Yep, absolutely.
And then, yesterday I got a ticket.
For what?
Well, I got followed from the freeway by a motorcycle cop.
He told me that
I didn't stop when the light was green, from red to green, and when I turned. And then he caught the red light and then chased me to give me a ticket. Saying that I didn't stop at the red light. So I asked for a supervisor who basically went along with what this guy said and told me that being on the street wasn't the place to argue about it. And I said, well, he's lying, you know. I said, I've already proved you guys lie in court. And he had already written a ticket. So when he asked me to sign a ticket, I wrote, I refuse under duress. He goes, no, you have to sign your name. I said, that is my name.
He must have loved you. Oh, my God.
So I found this is about 8 minutes and 40 seconds long, but this video will explain to you how to assert your rights during a traffic stop. It's going to show actual footage, and I'll put this up in the chat room, where the cop is caught in a lie about what information I'm required to provide.
Recently, I took a trip across town when something very interesting happened. Now, I was traveling at a safe speed for the road conditions, the weather, and the location. I was actually, as you can see here from the pictures, traveling along the service road to an expressway, which was to my left, and it was mostly empty fields on my right side, when a blue light gang member held me up at gunpoint and attempted an armed robbery. As I passed this person, he sprung into action, and I assumed that he was coming after me. So I quickly grabbed my camera, pulled it out, and started filming. Now, I was traveling down this road, and he immediately got directly behind me and sat behind me at the light. As I went through the light, I was over here in the far left-hand lane, and once we made it and cleared through the light, he did turn his flashing red and blue lights on top of his car, at which time I proceeded to pull over to the far right-hand lane and come to a complete stop as quickly as possible, exactly as the law specifies, and I did so here under the bridge. He didn't particularly like my choice of locations and had something to say about it. Let's take a look.
Go where? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do what? Okay.
Now, I want you to take notice of one thing, and that's the fact that my window is only rolled down about an inch or so. Now, there's a specific reason I do that, and it's because during a traffic stop, one of the tactics police officers will use when people roll their window all the way down is to put their hands on the actual door, stick their head in the window, claim that they smell something, and then gain probable cause or grant themselves probable cause to remove you from your vehicle and search it in order to find additional things that they can take you to jail for, lock you in a cage, or just take more of your money.
Please promise me to stop at speed 63 and a 45.
Okay.
Driver's license and insurance with you, sir?
Yep.
Do you have insurance with you? I don't think it's in the car with me.
What's that?
I don't think it's in the car with me.
Okay. What's the home phone number, sir?
Am I required to answer that question?
Yeah, I need it for a citation.
Sir, I'm required by the Supreme Court to give you my name and location. You have my identification. That's all I'm going to answer.
All right, that's fine. I'll be right with you.
Great.
Now, the average citizen has absolutely no idea how to stand up for their rights when dealing with these gang members. The fact is, your address and your name is really the only information they're required to have, and in many cases, they will ask for all kinds of additional information, which you are not required to provide, and it is up to you to say no.
All right, sir, it's a citation for speeding 63 and 45 zone, edge on laser, and failed to maintain financial responsibility. You got to have valid proof of insurance with you in the car. You need to contact federal courts within 15 days. Go to the website for more information. There's more information on the back of your copy here, right?
Yeah, you said
driver's license.
You said I needed a home phone number in order to give me a citation. Was that a lie?
No, sir.
Okay, so you're giving me a citation without getting my home phone number, but
correct.
You said that was needed.
Yes, sir.
So you lied?
Court requested.
Oh, so it's a request. Unfortunately, as I shifted in my chair, I inadvertently switched the camera off and was unable to capture the remainder of our conversation. However, it did continue. I asked a few more questions along those lines, and the gang member continued giving me ridiculous, conflicting answers to the questions that I was asking. And as you see in the video here, he was holding a PDA in his hand. Now, he attempted to slip this through the window for me to sign, and I asked him, what is it I'm signing here? And he said simply that I'm agreeing to the terms and understanding the terms of the complaint that he was issuing against me. I asked him, how am I supposed to know that, or how am I supposed to see what it is that I'm signing? And he replied, well, it's just what's on the ticket, sir, to which I told him, look, you have already lied to me once, so I have absolutely no reason to trust you. If it's exactly what's on the ticket, then why don't you go back to your car, print up another ticket, bring it back up here, and I will sign that. The officer said, okay, and hurriedly scurried off to his car. I find it both sad and a little bit amusing that there was actually no place to sign, that he had to create one with an X in a circle. And I thought about actually saying, well, there's no underline, and handing it back to him, but I don't think he would have appreciated that very much, and that might have pushed him over the edge. But it is also sad to realize that most people don't question anything the authorities tell them, the supposed authorities tell them. They simply do what they're told and get along their way, hoping that they can put this all behind them quickly and move on with their lives. But when you think about it, I really have some concerns giving an electronic signature to government. Because really, what's to stop them from taking that signature and applying it elsewhere? The police, and government for that matter, were established to protect the rights of the individuals. And given that context, the government would never do anything like that, would they? I want to bring your attention to something called corpus delicti. Now, this is the idea that in order to have a crime, two things must exist. One is a damaged party or an allegation of injury, while the other is the body of evidence that would link me to the damage. And that is required, according to the government's own rulings, in order to have a crime and in order for one of the Blue Light Gang members, a police officer, to have standing and to be able to bring a complaint against me. Now, many of you are probably saying to yourselves, well, yeah, Sam, but we have to have some rules. We can't have people just speeding all over the place. Are you suggesting complete anarchy? And in fact, I'm not. I believe private ownership of the roads would go a long ways in solving many of these problems and do a much better job than the government does today. And additionally, had I actually caused harm, caused an accident, or lost control of my vehicle, damaging somebody else's property, then clearly the standards for corpus delicti would have been met, and this officer would have had standing to bring a complaint against me in court. But the courts really are not there to ensure that I'm getting a fair trial and that all of the laws and standards for standing and evidence are met. They're really there to put on a good PR campaign and to make it look like the average citizen is getting a fair trial when, in fact, many of them are not.
No, it's legalized extortion.
Right.
But let's see what Fran's got to say. Hello, Fran.
Sorry, I had to take you off of mute.
How are you?
Hello. I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
The comment that you said about donating blood,
yeah.
May need to hold off on that because, like 9/11, so many people stepped up to the plate to donate blood that they had to turn people away because they had too much of it.
Yeah, well, they're asking for it on the TVs over here, Fran, and I'm right in Massachusetts. I'm 45 minutes from Boston, and they're telling people to donate blood because the hospitals are out of it.
Okay, because here they just said don't do it because there's too much of it. So, well, this is a little bit different than 9/11. 9/11.
Yeah, well, we have the Rock and Roll Marathon. What is it, next week, Fran? End of next week?
Oh, next week is the one that is in, was it London?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a big one. Ours is in, what, 45 days?
45 days? Okay. I heard it wrong.
May something. That's ours.
Okay.
But they are concerned because I believe it's London. That's the next big race. And now that this has happened, it is something that Americans have always taken it for granted that terrorism would not happen. So many other countries, they live with it every day. We are just now coming into it. And not necessarily a good thing, bad thing. And what my concern is that people are going to be such introverts and not go out their door. And a person cannot live that way. You just can't live that way. If you live in fear, then you're not living at all. I mean, look at that 70, plus-year-old man that got thrown down by the concussion of that explosion, he picked up his ass and made it across that finish line anyway. There were people that went and to aid where other people would have run in an opposite direction. That just goes to show the fortitude that Americans will put forth for another. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. There's so many different things that are happening, and it was interesting because they exploded something in San Diego. I guess more people are starting to notice things that are not in place. By the way, on your site, I did appreciate seeing the highway sign saying, you know, look for bikes. That was nice. Hopefully that California, when May is our motorcycle awareness.
Yeah, I did that. I did that for a special reason.
Well, hopefully they will do the same when it comes time in May to have those signs. That would be a very nice.
That was kind of a remembrance thing.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Okay.
Offhand, do you know what is the 20th? Is there supposed to be a motorcycle run that I'm supposed to attend? You know?
The 20th?
Yeah.
Which one is that now?
Oh, which one is?
There's got to be like 12 of them that I know of right now.
Whoa. Something with maybe Wounded Warriors. Is there one with Wounded Warriors?
That's the one I think out at Flint Springs.
Okay. You've got a time?
Over there off the 8th.
Okay. It means it's going to be an early get my butt out. All right. I can do that.
Okay.
I can do this. You know, it's amazing.
Hey.
You can do anything that you really want to. It's just that the key is you really want to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I can do that. I can do that. Not a
I went up to a blues bike and car show up in Pico Rivera over the weekend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I was up there with Martin and some of the guys.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to start hanging out with you guys. Get myself motivated into doing things again.
Well, you know, just so you know, you guys all seen the movie The Machine Gun Preacher, right?
No, I'm not aware of it.
Well, Pastor Z and his group at Rushing Wind Ministries, they're located at 4168 Avenue de la Plata in Oceanside. I'll CC you the...
Okay.
This Sam Slice story was first written in an autobiography, Another Man's War, then adapted by Hollywood into the non-Christian R-rated moving Machine Gun Preacher. So they're going to have, they're going to show the movie after the Full Throttle band will hit the stage, and then he's supposed to talk, will be on at 7. He's going to tell his story, and it'll be May 4th at 6 p.m.
Cool.
May 4th.
What time is it on May 4th?
I'll send you the flyer.
Okay, because May 4th, I know that I have to work at the college.
Well, this is after 6.
Oh,
he goes
then I may be a tad late, but I should be able to make it then.
Well, they're going to be there. They're going to be there for a while, and he'll be available afterwards to talk to people. I just sent it to you.
I was going to say, can you run a little block for me in time-wise so I can scoot a little quicker?
Yeah, you have to be there. Let's see. According to Fred Z, he's the pastor. It's in the parking lot. And you need to be there by 6. The band will hit the stage at 6. And they're going to be serving free tacos. And then this Saturday, April 20th at 6 p.m., they're going to have a finger food potluck at 6, and they're going to show the movie at the church.
That I know I won't be able to make, because I've got, there's the bike event in the morning. There's the Share for Life, because John donated his eyes. And
yeah.
I really should make that attendance that afternoon.
Yeah.
So I know there's three events I'm supposed to attend, but two out of three ain't bad.
No. And then the other one that's coming up, which will be at Sweetwater, it'll take place, so you ride down from Bill's to Sweetwater, but it's going to be the Ride, Strive, and Roll, that PVA event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
okay.
That'll be, let me see. Okay. Just waiting for it to open up. It'll be also on May 4th. Registration is 9 to 10 a.m. at Kennedy's, and then also at Elko and Harley-Davidson. And then the after party is at Sweetwater. But it's going
to
be a blackjack.
I might be able to hit the end point, but not the beginning, because I have to put in a couple hours on the 4th at the college.
Okay. But, yeah, and then the other one after that is the 28th. That'll be at Delusion Cycles. That's Rusty's place in Westminster. And they'll be having an open house on Sunday, April 28th, 11 to 5. So I had Art come up, Art Hall from Quick Draw will come up Sunday. And then he's also going to meet me at this event. And Aging Rebel, he's going to meet me there too. Rebel from Aging Rebel.
I got to start getting my new camera familiar so that I can start clicking away. Yeah, I tell you what, getting older sometimes sucks. That learning curve just doesn't seem to work as well as it did earlier. Well, that so sucked.
Yeah. Well, I seen Bill the other day. He was eating some donuts and drinking a Pepsi. And I said, hey, are you supposed to be eating that and drinking that? And he goes, I'm 64 years old. I said, okay. I said, you want to be around a little longer? He said, yeah, but I'm 64 years old. So basically, he's going to do what he wants.
Well, I can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
Well, the doctor
told him that he did a lot of damage to his other organs. So
right.
To be taking care of himself.
You get to a point where...
Well, I need him to keep me out of trouble.
That's a tough sore point.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's a rough point.
You know, there's a lot of times he'll get the call and then he'll call me and ask me, and I'm going, well, Bill, why don't they just call me?
Yeah, at the same time, let's go to direct.
Yeah.
You know, direct dial.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know why they don't call me.
They're probably afraid to call you.
No. The people that are calling, I'm not hiding from anybody. And my site's been up forever. And just since the first of the year, I can tell you right now, that we have, let's see, 2,172,000. No, actually, hang on a second. It's 2,118,795. We had 170,867 people look at the blog today.
Wow.
We had, I was talking about it earlier, just in our audience, we had, 68 people. Let's see. Yeah, we had 68 people in China that are looking at it or listening to the show right now.
You should have posted my birthday on the blog. I would have got watermelons.
Oh, you're funny.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted for my birthday. I'm like a watermelon addict, and I wanted some watermelons. You know, you should have said send all watermelons to the Massachusetts area.
I thought you were talking about some watermelon flavored other stuff.
The green ones, you know, that you cut open.
It is green.
Yeah. Oh, no. TMI. Oh, I just read something quite interesting that the WBC is going to try to come and shit stir here up in Boston. So I got a message for them WBCs. You don't want to fuck with Westboro Baptist Church.
Hey,
yeah, because I've got a real good friend who's a Patriot God writer, and he's always referring them to as the WBC. So that's why I say it like that. But,
but people would be talking about boxing.
Yeah, but a word of advice, if any of them are listening, you ain't going to fuck with the people in Boston because they ain't going to be nice like the people that you used to dealing with. They will break through lines, and they will hurt you. because we're not calm folks, and we're pretty much notoriously known for that. And, I mean, that's the last thing these poor folks up here need to see is to have them idiots turn up with their stupid shit. Because I guess they're tweeting it, and they've got a website, they're posting it, and, yeah, I'd advise them.
They always do that to stir up trouble. Also, from my understanding, almost more than half of them are also lawyers.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want. They want you, because my buddy was telling me about it. They want media publicity. They want you to do something stupid so they can sue. That's the point of their. But the problem is that, like I said, we're hotheads up here. And I'll tell you what, it would take a bunch of Massachusetts people to put down them people for good. Because, yeah, I don't see that turning out very well if they were to show up here, because we're not compassionate people. We're pretty much known,
Well, no, you're passionate people, just differently.
Yeah, we have attitude first.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yes.
That's what always gets
me in trouble, but yes.
Yeah, I just personally don't see that going over well, and possibly they would get that media publicity they so-called desire because, I don't know, I just don't see that going over well. Did they try going up to 9/11 too? Were they mouthing off with that stuff?
No,
they always will do that.
Yeah, I thought they came after that.
There's a lot of mouth, and they can't tread with it because they know that at that point, the tread's going to get them hurt. But that when you were saying about publicity, a lot of the like radio shows and whatnot would just turn them off. When they hear who it is, just turn them off. Then they would lose their momentum and their platform, and a lot of it may actually go away because they don't have anything that they can stand by. They don't have the publicity to get them what they want.
Yeah, well, they're doing the whole gay bashing thing
because
one of the tweets I read was. It really had nothing to do with the marathon, but, according to them, God's wrath has been unleashed because, Massachusetts has a big gay population. And, I read that and I'm like, are you kidding me? They just grasp at straws to try to stick their nose into any bad event that happens to people. And the problem is that some people are strong enough to look beyond them, to know that they're there to play on emotions, but some people don't, that's where stuff gets bad.
This is where there's going to come a point where they're going to have someone that, you know, is going to have a gun, and they're going to say, oh, is this your attitude? Well, let me teach you what our attitude is.
Yeah, that's
just as bad.
It is, but it's hard because if it's a direct family member to you or someone you know or anything like that, or just the fact that everybody in Massachusetts right now is kind of walking around with, you know, very heightened senses, you know, and you come across the way those people come across, you know, yeah, that stuff is going to happen because it just, I don't know. We don't have that slow, southerly type of hospitality where we can let stuff roll off our shoulders. We're all city folks that are very high strung, and, you know, our breakfast, lunch, and supper is coffee. So, you know, it's just, we're high strung people. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. But I got a guy here who's dying to say something.
Cool. Oh, cool.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked, and it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yep.
Hey, Phil, can I ask you a question? Have you ever eaten off the grilled cheese truck?
The what?
The grilled cheese truck.
You mean the...
It's in California, dude. I have them on my Facebook page. I seen them on the Food Network, and I was just like, I want one of them sandwiches off the grilled cheese truck.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese with everything. But they're out there, you know, where you're at. And I'm just curious, have you ever eaten, you know?
Oh, yeah, they're at the end of the pier every day.
The grilled cheese people?
Well, the grilled cheese people, and they also have burritos or whatever else you want them.
Oh, no, that's not the same truck. They specifically cook grilled cheese.
Yeah,
that's
they're
it.
At the end of the pier, but there's like six or seven trucks at the end of the pier.
Oh, no kidding. They need to come east. That's what I left them a comment. I'm like, you people need to come east. Because we don't have a lot of those, like, exciting little food trucks like you guys have out there in California, you know?
Why don't you start one?
No. I ain't a people person, man. I can only tolerate 50 people at a time. If there's more than that, there's trouble. And I definitely don't want to be serving people from a little truck, you know? No. I'm good with that.
Okay. But, yeah, no, it's like they get there in the morning about 5. They stay there till about 7, and they disappear, and they come back about 8:30.
Yeah, well, they Facebook all day long where they're going to be, and people, like, follow them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, damn, yeah. Very interesting. But you guys got, like, those fish taco trucks and the grilled cheese truck and the burrito truck, because there's a show on TV that shows all these damn trucks, you know? They follow them all over the place, and, like, they're all out in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got some that they sell anything you want. They're like restaurants on wheels. They got some that, you know, some of the Black Angus has one, or a couple of them, and In-N-Out Burger has them.
Are they good, though? I mean, are they all good, or do you have some bad ones along with good ones, or?
Yeah, I mean, you have correct me if I'm wrong, Fran, but didn't they just make them all have to go through the health thing? They have to be A-certified?
They are going to be rated just like restaurants. Now, back in New York, we used to call them Roach Coach.
That's what we call them.
Yeah, they're Roach Coaches here. It's just that they don't use that term like we do back east. I still call them Roach Coaches.
Yeah,
you got good ones, bad ones. There are certain ones that yes, they do have a following. They do have to now pass the health board standard, and they have a inspection, which they're rated A, B, C, and if it's got a C on it, I sure as hell wouldn't want it in the window. If it was in the window, I sure as hell wouldn't want to eat it. But yes, they do go through the rating now, and I don't know. It's one of those things, kind of, you know, you're lucky. If it's not, well, hopefully you've got some Tums and whatever.
Yeah.
That was putting it nicely.
Now, Fran, when you lived out here on the East Coast, did you ever drink coffee milk? Did you ever get the opportunity to drink coffee milk? I know it's not a Jersey, New York thing. It's predominantly a Massachusetts, Rhode Island thing. But just curious, did you ever drink it?
I'm sorry. I do not taint black coffee.
No. Coffee milk it's coffee syrup. You pour coffee syrup in your glass of milk, and it's good stuff. It's like chocolate and strawberry syrup. The company that makes it is awesome. Good stuff. Everybody from the Midwest that's come out here to visit me, because I used to live out in the Midwest, I sit them down with a glass of coffee milk, and yeah, guess who's sending them out a gallon every year? Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm a little bit the old fashioned of, you know, just regular coffee and you don't mess with the coffee.
There's one point where
you used to listen to Dennis Leary and his piece on coffee. It's wonderful. That's my attitude. Don't touch the coffee.
We got Dunkin' Donuts here on every three block radius. There's a Dunkin', you know, and it's like people, they just are fueled for the day on iced coffee. That's all we drink. Doesn't matter. Snow, rain, sleet, shine. You got more iced coffee drinkers per capita over here than you do hot coffee drinkers.
Well, they tried the Dunkin' Donuts. It went to Winchell's here. The donuts here just fall a little bit flat. I mean, that's like you can't get a really, really good bagel unless it's out of, New York. And people have always said that it has to do with the water that makes the bagels so different.
Huh.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've always been told.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And on that note, forget about the coffee.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all right. When I first got stationed out here, I walked into a donut place and I asked. The girl said coffee, and I said yes, make it Boston. Do you know what the fuck I was talking about?
Oh my God!
I explained it to her.
Well, check this out. I had my friends from South Bend, Indiana, come out here about 10, 11 years ago, and my girl Sandy. I got her and her husband, Dennis, hooked bad on Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee the whole time they were here. She calls me last week, and she's like ecstatic, and I'm like, what's the matter? And she said, because Krispy Kreme is out there in that area. She's like, they're building the first Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, what? She was all excited. She was like, yeah. She says, and I plan on going every day. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, Dunkin' is crazy. You get addicted to that. I'm a Starbucks fan, and people can argue with whatever money it's expensive. I don't care, but I like strong, good-tasting coffee. So it is what it is. I'll pay for it.
Yeah. Let me do something here. I'll be right back. But I think this is an appropriate song for what happened in Boston. Life in the Fast Lane. I sent you a copy of it, Stacey.
Okay.
And this is written by her husband, John. But if you're this is general information right now. But it's about life in the Fast Lane, a collection of lane-related information. If your bike is equipped with working electric directional signals, the law requires that we use them when changing lanes. California Vehicle Code 22110. The state handbook also suggests that during times of heavy traffic or poor visibility, we also use hand signals so that cars are better able to see what our intentions are. The next one is signal lane changes. Before each lane change, check your mirrors, signal your intentions, check your blind spot, make your move. The California handbook suggests that at freeway speeds, we signal for at least 5 seconds before a lane change. Traffic lanes are often referred to by number. The left or fast lane is called the number one lane. The number one lane to the right of number one is called number two, and then number three, etc. If you're pulling a little camping trailer behind your motorcycle or car, you now come under the same three-axle category as a tractor-trailer. You are restricted to two right lanes of the freeway and restricted to 55 miles an hour, and you're not allowed to use the carpool lane. The following distance states that the driver of any motor vehicle that is operated outside of business or residential or residence district shall keep the vehicle he's driving at a distance not less than 300 feet to the rear of any motor vehicle. That's a space that will fit about 5 tractor trailers or almost as a football field long. On the freeway, miles per hour times 1.5 equals feet per second travel at 65 miles an hour. The vehicle is driving about 100 feet every second. Many motorists prefer traveling on a freeway in the number one lane, far left. This leaves the rider able to worry about bad moves from the vehicle to the right and the vehicle behind. Riding in the number one lane also leaves the shoulder on the left as an escape route to avoid dangerous moves from other drivers. Unlike many other states, where if you're traveling in the left lane, the number one lane, you are maintaining the posted speed limit. There's no legal reason for you to move out of that lane unless an emergency vehicle comes up behind you showing you lights or a siren. And in the Motorcycle Handbook, page 13, there's no best lane position for riders in which to be seen and maintain a space cushion around the motorcycle. Position yourself in a lane that allows the most visibility and space around you. Generally speaking, I've been told by the Highway Patrol that their attention is most drawn to vehicles that are jumping around from lane to lane, not to lose this, say mostly in one lane. But the driver's handbook, speedway speeds, we signal for at least 5 seconds before lane change. If you ride with others, do it in a way that promotes safety and doesn't interfere with the flow of traffic. If the group is more four or five riders, divide it into two or more smaller groups. Use staggered formation and keep 2 second following distance from the rider directly in front of you. When we are riding in a group on a freeway with 5 or 10 other vehicles, we are not an exclusive group. To the law and the rest of the world, we are just 5 or 10 individual vehicles. If the other vehicles want to or need to make a lane change into your lane, they have every right to do so and have the right not to stop them from doing so. Even convoys of army trucks or funeral processions use the right to exclusivity when on the freeway. The carpool lane. No vehicle may cross double yellow lines in or into or out of the carpool lane. Some areas, such as near Los Angeles, the double lines are about 18 inches apart. These are still double yellow lines, which no one may cross into or out of. Contrary to some popular belief, these are not teeny little lanes for motorcycles. One or two persons on a motorcycle or a trike are allowed to use the HOV lane unless otherwise posted. No vehicle pulling a trailer may use the HOV lane. Emergency vehicles stopped on a freeway. A person driving a vehicle on a freeway approaching a stationary authorized emergency vehicle that is displaying emergency lights, a stationary tow truck that is displaying lights, or a stationary Caltrans Department of Transportation vehicle shall approach with due caution before passing in a lane immediately adjacent to the authorized vehicle. After an order of direction by a peace officer, proceed to do one of the following. Make a lane change in the available lane. They made this into a law. Not immediately adjacent to the authorized vehicle. You have to slow down, too, to about half the speed. You got to slow down. If the maneuver described would be unsafe or impractical, slow to a reasonable and prudent speed that is safe for existing weather, road, and vehicle pedestrian traffic conditions. So, yeah, he just goes in. There's just a lot of information here, and this can be used anywhere in the United States or in the world.
Yeah, I'm reading it as you're reading it.
Well, read start where I left off the freeway.
All right, center left turn lanes, a set of yellow lines with dotted yellow lines just inside them. These are to be used to stop or complete left turns or to stop U-turns. We may not stay in them for more than 200 feet. Three tractor-trailer lengths. Double yellow sets of double yellow lines are considered a barrier or island. We may never cross those even to get into or out of our own driveway or to make a U-turn. Narrow streets. When riding in parts of a town with small narrow streets where there is not a center line painted in the street, California driving handbook suggests that we ride out near the middle of the street where no traffic is approaching us from the opposite direction. This reduces the chances of someone in a parked car making a move that would surprise or endanger you. Naturally, near an intersection, we would be back towards the right side of the roadway. Turnout areas and lanes. Special turnout areas are sometimes marked on two-lane roads. Drive into these areas to allow traffic behind you to pass. If you are driving slowly, you are required to pull in if there are 5 or more vehicles behind you that want to go faster.
Sometimes these turnout areas are unlit and unpaved, and especially at night, motorcyclists would have to make serious choices to use them or not. Pedestrian safety zone. The safety zone is the area or space lawfully set apart within the roadway for the exclusion use of pedestrians and which is protected or which is marked or indicated by vertical signs, raised markers or raised buttons in order to make such an area or space plainly visible at all times while the same is set apart as a safety zone. Crossing bicycle lanes. As long as there are no bicycles using the bicycle lane anywhere near enough for you to be hazard, that didn't come out right, you may cross a bicycle lane to turn into or out of a driveway. If there is a bicycle lane and no bicycles are using it, and you plan on turning right at the next corner, you should check your mirror, signal, check your blind spot, and move into the bicycle lane no more than 200 feet from the corner, 3 tractor trailer lengths, to approach your right turn. You may park in a bicycle lane as long as there is no sign that proclaims bike lane, no parking. Motorists passing bicyclists, be patient when passing a bicyclist. Slow down and pass only when it is safe. Do not squeeze the bicyclist off the road. If road conditions and space permit, allow clearance of at least 3 feet when passing a bicyclist.
Out here they have the bike lane, and we have all kinds of guys ride the coast. They ride, there's certain areas where they have bike trails.
Yeah.
And they're like 30, 40 guys, man, 2 abreast or whatever, and they'll actually hit your car and shit.
Get out of here. Whoa.
I like running by them and rapping it a couple of times scares the shit out of them.
No doubt.
But go ahead.
Okay, where was I? Okay. If you would like to check out any vehicle laws or rules, go to www.dmv.ca.gov. And that would be for California. And if you're here in Massachusetts, it would be www.dmv.massachusetts.gov.
Right.
So, let me see, what else is there? These rules and laws may be different when leaving California and entering other states, obviously. Do you want me to read the disclaimer and warning?
Sure.
Okay, disclaimer and warning.
Let me interrupt you. Now, read this. This is the kind of stuff he wrote, man. You couldn't pay somebody to find the information this guy found and posted.
Yeah, Fran's husband, John,
yeah,
right? Because I'm reading his name.
Yeah, like Bill said, he's sorely missed.
Yeah, very thorough, obviously, you know. But it says, this guide is to provide accurate and authoritative information on this subject. If expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. And then it says, I don't know if I should read the PS spot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it says, PS, I was just reading my article, Life in the Fast Lane, which is a collection of info regarding lane laws and rules. And I realized that I had not mentioned lane sharing. So I entered these lines into the article. FYI, thanks, John. The California Vehicle Code does not allow lane sharing, lane splitting, et cetera. The California Vehicle Code does not prohibit
lane sharing. Yes, they do. They changed it since he wrote this, but it's like an unwritten law now.
Yeah, you need to change this up then.
Well, no. I'm not changing it. It's the way he wrote it. I'm not going to change it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, it's a respect thing. But, in fact, I'll read you the one that you want to hear the one that I wrote?
Sure.
All right. Let me, hang on. I'm trying to find it right here. Okay. Wait, I know where it is. Yeah, right here. Oh, man. Here we go. Okay. This is what I wrote. California lane splitting guideline, general guidelines. Lane splitting in a safe and prudent manner is not illegal in the state of California. The term lane splitting, sometimes known as lane sharing, filtering, or white lining, refers to the process of a motorcyclist riding between lanes of stopped or slower moving traffic or moving between lanes to the front of traffic stopped at a traffic light. I'll sign you this so you can check it out. But this is going to be used. This is going to be used by attorneys.
Wow.
Yeah. In a very special case. But yeah, it's on its way right now, so you can read along.
Okie doke.
But let's see. Motorcyclists who are common enough to riders to lane split should follow these general guidelines if choosing to lane split. Travel at a speed that is no more than 10 miles an hour faster than other traffic. Danger increases at higher speed differentials. A speed differential of 10 miles per hour or less allows an alert, competent rider enough time to identify and react to most dangerous situations that occur. The greater the speed differential, the less time a rider has to identify and react to a hazard. It is not advisable to lane split when traffic flow is 30 miles an hour or faster. Danger increases as overall speed increases. At just 20 miles an hour in 1 or 2 seconds it takes a rider to identify a hazard, that rider will travel approximately 30 to 60 feet before even starting to take evasive action. Actual reaction, braking or swerving, will take an additional time and distance. Braking and stopping distance varies greatly based on a multitude of factors, rider, machine, and environment. As speed increases, crash severity increases. Typically, it is safer to split between the number one and two lanes, less than between other lanes, which out here, that's the common practice, one or two lanes. Other road users are more accustomed to motorcycles splitting between the one and two furthest left lanes. Avoid splitting lanes near the freeway on-ramps and exits. Avoid splitting lanes when another motorcycle rider is splitting between them other nearby lanes, as cars may take additional room for one rider and accidentally lose space for another. That happens all the time. Usually Bill and I will get behind a CHP guy and follow him. It's like the red heat parts. Consider the total environment in which you are splitting, including the route of the lane, size of surrounding vehicles, as well as roadway, weather, and lighting conditions. Some lanes are narrower than others, leaving little room to pass safely as you can. If you can't fit, don't split. Some vehicles are wider than others. It's not advisable to split near wide trucks. If you can't fit, don't split. Also know the limitations of your motorcycle. Wide bars, fairing, bags require more space between vehicles. If you can't fit, don't split. Avoid splitting up. There was an accident not too long ago. I know if we told you about it, I think Bill Todd and I talked about it last week, where a guy had a backpack on.
Yeah.
He was going between the cars and got hooked on a mirror. He stayed
but
the bike pinballed between all the cars.
Jesus.
Yep. Avoid splitting on unfamiliar roads to avoid surprises such as poor road surface. And John used to, you send him an email and he gave him the location.
Yep.
And he called up Caltrans and he went out and fixed the pothole or whatever it was in the road.
Wow.
Yep. Seams in the pavement or concrete between the lanes can be hazardous if they are wide or uneven. That's kind of the stuff we used to send him. And he'd call him up and it would be fixed in a day or two. Poor visibility due to darkness or weather conditions makes it difficult for riders to see road hazards and makes it more difficult for drivers to see you. So when I leave in the morning and I ride, it's usually 3:30, 4 o'clock. It's pitch black. There's two places where I go through on my way to San Diego that there's just like a street light every 500 yards.
Yeah.
And you can't see shit till you get there. So I usually stay to the left or to the right, depending, because I've been going that way for almost 20 years. So I know the road's good, and I usually look when I'm on my way home. I see what's going on, and then I usually know in the morning where I can plant myself, and I know I don't have to worry about hitting anything in the dark.
Wow.
Yep. Help drivers see you by wearing brightly colored protective gear and using high beams during daylight. Be alert and anticipate possible movements by other road users. Be very aware of what the cars around you are doing. If a space or gap opens up next to your lane, be prepared to react accordingly. Always be prepared to take evasive action if the vehicle changes lanes. Account for an intentive or distracted drivers. I always look in a mirror. You can see them in the mirror.
Right.
Surprised what I see. I seen a guy making a sandwich. I seen a guy had a book on the steering wheel and looked up every little bit as he was floating right or left. And people that had the cell phone in their left hand, they go to the right. If they have it in their right hand, they come to the left. Why, I don't know. Riders should not weave back and forth between lanes or ride on top of the line. And the reason you don't ride on the line is because you have no stopping power because you're sliding on paint. Riders should avoid lingering in blind spots. I usually stay 30, 40 feet behind them on the right-hand side so they can see me in the rearview mirror and the side mirror. And I ride with I got a halogen that's extra bright.
Yep.
And I ride with the high beam on. Never ride while impaired by drugs, alcohol, or fatigue, which John used to come out with a thing in the summer, just before the summer, like springtime, when riding season. He would, because we live in a desert community, he would tell you the water or bottle of Gatorade with you, and if you feel fatigued, pull over and get a drink.
Yeah, no, that's the truth.
Yeah, the 4 R's and B attitudes of lane splitting. You get the email yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go take over 4 R's?
All right. The four R's or B attitudes of lane splitting. Be reasonable, be respectful, be aware of all roadway and traffic conditions. Be reasonable means not more than 10 miles per hour, faster than traffic flow, and not over 39 miles per hour. Be responsible for your own safety and decisions. Don't put yourself in dangerous positions. If you can't fit, don't split. Be respectful, sharing the road goes both ways. Don't rely on loud pipes to keep you safe. Loud pipes often startle people and poison the attitude of car drivers towards motorcyclists. Other vehicles are not required to make space.
Only when they're on the phone and they got the window down.
To lane split. Be aware roadways and traffic can be hazardous. Uneven pavement, wide trucks, distracted drivers, weather conditions, curves, etc. Disclaimers. These general guidelines are not guaranteed to keep you safe. Lane splitting should not be performed by inexperienced riders. These guidelines assume a high level of riding competency and experience. The recommendations contained here are only general guidelines and cannot cover all possible combinations of situations and variables. Personal safety. Every rider has ultimate responsibility for his or her own decision making and safety. Yeah, I'm getting stuck on that. Riders must be conscious of reducing crash risks at all times. California law requires all motorcycle riders and passengers to wear a helmet that complies with the DOT FMVSS 218 standard.
That they don't certify.
Yeah, oh boy. The risk of getting a ticket. Motorcyclists who lane split are not relieved of the responsibility to obey all existing traffic laws. With respect to possible law enforcement action, keep in mind that it will be up to the discretion of the law enforcement officer to determine if riding behavior while lane splitting is or was safe and prudent. When is it not okay to split a lane? You should not lane split if you can't fit, at a toll booth, if traffic is moving too fast or unpredictably, if dangerous road conditions exist. Example includes water or grit on the road, slippery road markings, road construction, uneven pavement, metal grates, etc. If you cannot clearly see a way out of the space you're going into, for example, if a van or SUV is blocking your view, between trucks, buses, RVs, and other wide vehicles, around or through the curves, if you are not fully alert and aware of your surroundings, if you are unable to react to changing conditions instantaneously, if you don't feel comfortable with the situation, messages for other vehicle drivers. Lane splitting by motorcyclists is not illegal in California when done in a safe and prudent manner. Motorists should not take it upon themselves to discourage motorcyclists from lane splitting. initially blocking or impeding a motorcyclist in a way that could cause harm to a rider is illegal. Opening a vehicle door, to impede a motorcyclist is illegal. I would think that's...
Sorry, that happens all the time.
Oh, my God. Never drive while distracted. You can help keep motorcyclists and all road users safe by checking mirrors and blind spots, especially before changing lanes or turning. Signaling your intentions before changing lanes or merging with traffic. Allowing more following distance, 3 or 4 seconds from behind a motorcyclist, so the motorcyclist has enough time to maneuver or stop for an emergency.
Yep. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
But yeah, we're going on overtime. So what?
Say goodnight.
Yeah, say goodnight, and then I'm gonna let Phil Collins take us out. We're in the air tonight.
All right, cool beans, man. Take care, be safe.
All right, we'll see you Thursday.
All right, cool.
All right, bye-bye.